Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Adventures in Careerland. I am your host, Adriano Magnifico. I'm the career lead at the Louis Riel Arts and Technology Center. This very interesting place that houses 13 applied apprenticeship and technical programs that students can choose from a high school perspective or from a post-secondary perspective. They include programs like the Automotive Technology Program, Baking and Pastry Arts, Buildings and Trades, Culinary Arts, Early Childhood Education, Electrical Trades, Hairstyling, Aesthetics, New Media Design, Plumbing Trades, Information Technology. It's a very interesting place that high school students can use to augment their 30 credits that they must accumulate in a high school setting for a high school diploma. So they take a chance. They step off the beaten path. This is an interesting place. And we're always full of students who are thinking, I want to check out another possibility. I have been working with a program, a high school K-12 program that has been doing pretty much the same thing for me, and I appreciate it, but I want to try something different. So I love when students come to the program, and I am blessed also to work with two of these students. One is from the broadcast media program, which is one of those 13 programs. He is Andre Poirier. Andre, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you doing?
I'm always ready to jump out of bed and take the world on.
Nice. I like that.
How do you feel? How did you jump out of the bed ready to take the world on today?
Rolled out of the bed.
You rolled out. Yeah. Yes.
And so I'm still ready to take the day, but I just kind of took a slower approach.
I jump, yeah. You roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not bad. I'll take it. It's better than the usual comment. I'm tired. I'm tired of that comment. I'm tired of the tired comment. But that's okay. We also have Lina Alfori, and she's in the Applied Business Management Program, one of those 13 programs that students choose. And Lina, how are you today?
I'm doing good. Feeling great.
You're feeling great. I love it now.
I have coffee in my system, so I'm feeling really good today.
Coffee in the system? That's not coffee. That's a soft drink. What is that?
Yeah, it's like a Starbucks double shot. Energy plus coffee.
Oh my God! What are you drinking? Is that? I think that's going to take a year off your life if you keep drinking something.
But you know what? It has 12 grams of protein, surprisingly. So I'm like, okay.
12 grams. So that's like you're eating a steak right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I was like, okay, why not?
Do you actually look at? Okay, here's a point. Do you actually look at the labels, you two?
I do.
No.
Like actually, really well.
You watch the labels. So what are the things you're worried about when you look at a label?
Worried about probably the sugar, and I don't really pay much attention to calories, but sugar and I think fats.
Trans
and then
fat.
I look at protein all
trans
the time.
Trans fat. Yeah. Worried about trans fat.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know why, but whenever I look at the labels, if I ever do, I'm always like, how much calcium does this thing have?
Really?
I don't
That's
know why.
So random. I
don't,
I never
exactly. I just go,
that.
I wonder how much calcium this has.
So you're worried about osteoposporosis?
Well, I don't know. I just like.
I don't even know what I said.
Yeah, neither do I.
Well, anyway, so why calcium though? You've heard about that. Like your parents must have said that milk's got calcium in it. Yeah. Drink more milk. So
my parents constantly told me, if you don't want your bones broken, keep drinking milk. So it makes you get lots of calcium. So I'm always looking for calcium stuff. It's just sort of become a habit at this point.
So would you say your generation is really in tune with the labels and nutrition, or does that matter to you?
I think because there's a lot more, like, have you been seeing like the gym bros all over like TikTok and Instagram? There's a lot more people that are worried about like, that are like into fitness now. It's like a huge thing with our generation, I think.
You think it is?
People pay attention to the protein as much. Like everyone's obsessed with protein, I feel like.
Yeah, my son was doing that. He'd buy this giant 5-gallon drum of protein. Yeah. Everybody buys the 5-gallon drum of protein at Costco and they take it to their workouts. Like we never did that in high school. We're a whole different group. We never even looked at a label. We trusted the corrupt administrations that always led us.
That explains a lot.
You see the wrinkles on the side of my face now. You see my skin dragging down. You see the paunch and Magnifico. Well, of course, look what he ate. So I like this. So I'm going to be watching you guys in a few years just to see. Well, I think there's an obesity epidemic in the United States.
Yeah.
Now, I may be overstating that, but do you think that's really going on? Like, there's some frightening statistics out there about what we're eating and how it's affecting our bodies.
I mean, I think it's a really serious problem. I mean, if you look at a photo that's like 6 years ago or a video, you see barely any obese people. And then all of a sudden today, it's like every second person.
Yeah.
It's not anything against them. It's just, I feel like the way that people have been eating is just affecting everybody. Like, I think it might be the COVID as well. COVID is just the bane of everybody's problem because everybody's home. Yeah. Nobody can go to the gym. Everybody's just sitting down, eating junk food and all
that. Well, you're going to the fridge all the time. I know during COVID, I'd be teaching classes in my house. And of course, everybody take a break. I'm going to the fridge. Like, when do you do that in real life? Like, it's not a real life kind of work.
Yeah, COVID thing. Was like everyone's downfall.
It changed everything.
Yeah.
But we're over. Are you over it?
Yeah, I am for sure.
Are you over
it? I'm good.
More or less.
More or less.
I used to be a lot more social before COVID. And all of a sudden, I'm like at home.
I'm the opposite. That's not the opposite. Yeah, which is so weird. But.
Well, no, COVID can beat you down a bit into your own little world, right? And and forgetting that the best part of life is social relationships and building relationships with others and making friends.
I'm just gonna quickly jump in.
Hey, who's this?
I'm allowed to do this.
Oh, we're allowed to do this. Oh, but before we get going, okay, just a minute here because I was leading into you, my friend. This is our guest. He is so excited to talk. I'd like to introduce you to Ridwana Lai from the University of British Columbia, former student at Windsor Park Collegiate, 2023 grad, proud grad, but also a person who earned the Loran Scholarship, which is a big deal. That's a $100,000 scholarship.
Wow.
And so he's not paying for anything at UBC. How does that feel, my friend?
Well, with inflation, but no, it's awesome. I think earned is an interesting word, but I think I was given the opportunity to be a part of this program. And it genuinely is an amazing program with 35 other amazing students. And I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you for having me. Reason I was so excited to jump in is because I've been thinking lately about walkable cities. I think you mentioned 60 years ago, if we look at any pictures or images from the past, we'd see a lot more slim people. And I think one of those reasons was because you probably have to walk a lot of places where now we have the convenience to drive or take an e-bike or other methods of transportation that did not even exist back then. Mm-hmm. But awesome. Thank you for letting me jump in, Adriano.
No, I love it. And you know what? Here. And of course, that's who you are. You're a thinker. And so when we bring a thinker on, we got to stop talking and let you think. But one of those things you're talking about, I even, like when you said, the incident of the electric bike, what amazes me is that how many electric bikes I see zipping. These things are zipping, man. Like, this is not 100%. This is not a little, I'm going for a Sunday drive. These guys are ripping down the road. It looks almost dangerous to me sometime. And there's zero exercise on this bike. Like, I think we got to get our legs pumping. I think everything we create is for convenience and to lessen our... I shouldn't say everything, but many things we create is just for our convenience and to lessen our physical activity. I don't think that's a good thing. What do you think, Ridwana Lai?
I agree 100%. I think sometimes struggle is necessary for you to achieve your desired outcome.
We have to climb a mountain for this?
Not climb a mountain, but I honestly think like one of the biggest things about being at UBC.
Like you're going to climb a mountain. Okay. This guy just likes to talk. Like he's going to climb a mountain.
He's ready.
He can't even climb out of bed. And this guy's going to climb a mountain.
Roll out of bed. Yeah.
Smags, that last time I checked, the mountain's not in my bed.
Oh, all right. I've actually climbed a mountain.
Really?
Yeah. 9,000 foot mountain.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was in Italy, in the Gran Sasso Mountains, Abruzzese. And I remember that because I didn't realize how big it was until I started climbing. It's taken, an hour five. I'm going, holy cow, is there a top to this mountain? And then helicopters came flitting around thinking, are you guys okay? I remember a big yellow helicopter and I thought, what have I gotten into? I'm wearing Reeboks and a t-shirt. I see other people with mounting climbing gear and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is this the last day of my life? And got up to the mountain. And then when you climb up a mountain, it takes a long time and you're up in the sun. And I didn't have the right clothes. When you climb down a mountain, you're practically rolling down the mountain. Mm-hmm. Like it took 2 hours to come down that mountain. It took like 7 or 8 to climb it and 2 hours to go down it because you're just zipping down it. And then I was in bed for 2 days for heat stroke.
Wow. Holy crap. Amazing. Well, at least you're here now. You made it back.
I made it back. That's right. So, Ridwana Lai, you were in Windsor Park Collegiate, and I'm thinking, here's a kid making a program. I want to talk about this program. You've also won an award with Volunteer Manitoba. I just saw that as a young kind of volunteer who's done some amazing things and was connected to your, what is your program called? It's Wake Up Mental Health. Is that correct?
Yes, wake them into health.
And of course, that was one of the reasons the Loran scholarship team took note of you because of this amazing initiative. So talk about the story of, you're a Windsor Park kid, you're into sciences, right? Because you're UBC in computer science, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to major in integrated sciences and integrated computer science with neuroscience. So that's a bit mix of the two.
So if there's no COVID, are you just taking your sciences and hoping to find a good university? Or did COVID inadvertently provide you with this amazing opportunity to make the world a better place? Talk about that a bit.
Yeah, sure. So I think that's interesting. That's, you know, that's actually a thing I've wondered about a lot. But I guess my whole story, as a kid, I was always in the washroom making potions with whatever cleaning supplies we had and soap and all of that. I was a naughty kid. But so I loved doing that stuff. And whenever we had like a new toy or something, I'd always imagine or like take them apart to try to create something new. So I'd always had this sort of like sciencey vibe of creating, of innovating, of just wanted to bring an idea to life. And I think that honestly transferred through middle school and high school, where I'd always just wanted to like create this idea. And so the startup culture seemed a lot very, very interesting to me, but obviously I was way too young to get involved with that. And so I kind of forgot about that until COVID hit. And I said, I have all this time. And frankly, it was scary because coming into grade 9, I was super excited to be involved. I got involved with student council, with the athletic team. I was playing sports. And so a lot of my hours every single day were filled. And I slept really, really good every night. And then COVID hit. And all of a sudden, you have nothing to do. You're at home 24/7. Attending classes virtually, but not really attending because you're in your room and you're like, I can chill on a bed. Mm-hmm. I can sit, stargaze, well, daydream, do whatever, look outside, and you don't really have to worry about your teacher like saying, hey, concentrate.
Are you trying to tell me while I was working hard teaching those classes, kids like you were daydreaming? Is that just going on? I've been misled.
Oh, Mr.
Magnifico. I've been completely misled.
Mr. Magnifico, whenever they said, oh, sorry, my camera's broken, they're just have it off, and then they're doing something else. All time.
I actually turned on my camera because I did my best with that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to actually create a classroom vibe. And so for my favorite class, it happened to be math, because the teacher, Mr. Pernarowski, I'm not sure if you guys know him, awesome guy. Super funny. So for that class, I always made sure my camera was on, but I'd still catch myself daydreaming. And so, but after classes were over and stuff like that, summer happened, right? And so summer with no school, and you can't really hang out with your friends because of all the restrictions and all of that stuff. And I realized I was frankly a really boring person when it came outside of school. I'm pretty sure you guys call them like school friends or whatnot, right? And then you're like, you have your friends. So I didn't really have friends. I had school friends where outside of school, we didn't really know that we existed. And so
there's always those friends.
So that's a neat reality about the COVID world, right?
Yeah. You realize that a lot. Quicker.
Do you guys around the table feel that way? You seem like you had friends, but didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They were school friends. They weren't friends, you know?
And that's the place where school is. I really believe school is this place where social activity is the key. All the academic courses are huge. You need to gain the knowledge, you need to gain the applied learning and the applied skills, but the connections between people are what make the whole high school experience so special and memorable that you come back to. I want to come back to a reunion because of the people I met, not because of that math quadratic formula. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, because at school, especially since school took up a lot of my life, like after school, I'd play sports as well. So I was there, I guess, a bit longer than most students. And so school was really this place where I got to build relationships. I got to hear stories. I got to have fun. And taking all of that away, I was at home now just wondering, what do I do? So that's kind of how I discovered, like, oh, let me get back into reading, because I loved reading as a kid. I stopped a bit when school took over. And now I'm reading again. I'm like, let me go to the basketball court we had in Sage. And I said, let me start writing. Journaling, I tried. I'm not going to lie. I think I'm going to stick to poetry because I'd rather speak my thoughts. And I talk to myself a bit. But I'd rather do that rather than, I guess, write them out. But I do write poetry, so I guess I get that writing portion in there, and also just creating art. Like, I never really considered myself an artist, but grabbing some paint and doing whatever my hands would do, like the stuff I created was terrible, but I think it was just that process of creating that I really got myself back into, and that's how I started thinking about, okay, well, coming back into school and thinking about, hey, everyone still kind of seems trapped in the pandemic, right? Like, what can I do to create something that could possibly change this? And I wasn't thinking anything crazy, like, oh, I'm going to change the whole world, but I was really just thinking, I've got friends who are talking about, man, like, I'm just going to head back home. Like, they seemed less engaged than normally what they used to do. And being someone who I was so happy to be back in school, I was like, how can I get other people excited about this too? And so I talked to my friend, his name Noah. He was actually in this program with you guys, I believe, the Applied Business Program. Noah
Yes,
was,
Noah, of course.
yeah,
Of
Noah, yeah,
course.
okay.
Love Noah.
So I saw, he's awesome. And so I started talking to him. I was like, hey man, I should create like a reading club or something, you know, like we're gonna get people start reading because I loved reading. I was like, this is an awesome way to get people involved with reading and stuff. He was like, yeah, but what if people don't like reading?
That's
And
what I
I
was
was
gonna
like,
say.
okay,
Oh, well, that's gonna go
yeah,
over.
like,
Yeah, that'll be a big three
right.
person club.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, because Noah was, he was actually big on exercise back then. He was in the gym and everything, and he's huge. And he was like, yeah, like exercise. I was like, yeah, we can do exercise. And he's like, okay, that's awesome. But he's like, what if people don't like exercise? So I was throwing ideas back at him, and he was telling me, okay, you can like, what if this and that and that? And but it really gave me like this sort of foundation of, okay, I whatever I'm gonna do, it needs to really involve a lot of moving pieces to really get the most amount of people interested and feel like this is a program for them. And then when we got back into school a bit, I started talking to my librarian and asking her, like, what should I, you know, like, is this really a good idea? And the name came to me when I was just going on a rant to my friends, and I'm like, I feel like we need to wake up. Like, we need to wake up, just because I'm not sure about you guys. I know the other two, as youth, the days sometimes seem a little bit weary, where you're just kind of passing by and time is just rushing by. And you're always just like, I wish I could slow down time and just be present. And so for me, I was really just about waking up and founding a program. I actually applied for this grant with Rising Youth. They were going to give me, I think, a grant of 750. Yes, they had three options. It was 500, 750, 1,150, $1,500. And I did not know what I was going to do with $1,500, but I did know what I was going to do with $750. And that was to buy notebooks, pencils, and keychains with their logos to kind of help connect youth together. For example, you'll see a Wake Up Mental Health logo keychain on someone's bag, and you'll be like, holy crap, they did this as well. Let's talk about mental health. And so that was the goal. That was what I spent my money on. And then it came the time to run a session. It was actually Miss Stengerlin at Windsor Park. I think she's at Frontenac right now, who she said, yeah, you can go to Frontenac. I'll connect you with like a teacher there, and you can run a session with these students. And I was shaking. Like, I normally don't get nervous. I'm a live life. I'm a, what do you call it? YOLO, you only live once type of guy. And so, but I was so nervous when I walked into this class with these students because I'm like, holy
What
crap.
grade were they in?
Grade five and
Grade five.
six.
I mean, you're scared of them?
I
Hey,
know, just, I was just like the nervous energy.
it's of course, and you just got a taste of what teaching is. You're preparing
Yeah.
some material, kind of a lesson plan. You come in there with a goal. You hope the students get this outcome, and you're working it. Like you just got a taste. Did you like the feeling of preparing and being on stage? And that's what a teacher is every day. How did you like that?
It seemed like I like the whole thinking process because I'm a thinker. So
Yes.
I really enjoyed that whole sort of, oh, like, what should I really do? But when it came to executing, I think this was a bit more of the scarier side because I'm like, what if the kids just absolutely do not like me and they just stare at me while I drone on and on and I yap away? And they're just like, what is this guy talking about? Like, who is this guy,
Oh my
right?
God,
And
you're talking
so,
about my life.
no, I was just nervous in
My
that
40
sense.
years as an educator, this is what I've lived. I think I need some of your mental health sessions.
For sure. But it was just this sense, and but I they completely blew my mind away. Like, don't get me wrong, these kids were awesome. They were so engaged, and just the way they welcomed me in, they were clapping, and all of them, they're cheeky kids. Like, kids are absolutely awesome. And being a kid myself, right? I say that like I'm 40 years old, but no, I'm only 19. I used to be 9, 10 years ago, a decade ago. So really just being able to get back to that youthful side. And so we started with like writing, we started with reading, just talking about art and all of that. And the kids, like the way they just took on to it was absolutely amazing. And then we got to our exercise portion. And so I took them to a park. And normally when you hear a park, right, you will think slides, swings, monkey bars, like all of the things that make a park. And I was really gassing it up. I told the kids, you guys are gonna have an amazing time. You're gonna get to like play and run around. And then we got there and it was just like a park, because I checked Google Maps and shout out Google. And but it was just a field where like just a grass field. And I guess that's like technically a park, but to me, that was not what I was expecting. And
You're
that was
hoping
obviously not
to
what they.
get a little help from those monkey bars and some of those
I
slides and some of those.
Yes. You
Oh,
wanted a
gosh.
playground.
Literally, because to me, a park is like, well, because it was their exercise portion. And really, I just wanted them to grow up with this belief that exercise is when you're moving, is when you're active, is when you get your blood pumping and you're running around with your friends.
Yes.
Because that's literally what exercise is. When people go on jogs or runs, well, that you're exercising, but it's so much more enjoyable with a group of friends. And I really just wanted to instill this active mindset in them from a young age, because that's what Waco Mental Health is, instilling this mindset of easy and fun ways to keep your mental health positive from a young age. So when you grow older, you're not really thinking, I need to do something for my mental health. You're thinking, this is something that makes me happy, that I do constantly. And so I never really get to this point in my life where I feel like there are no other options. And so,
Have you always been this involved? Like, as a kid before grade 9, did you always feel like a need to help or a need to be involved?
I think 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether being like Nigerian has something to do with it, but back home, like our people are always so open, we're always so friendly. And but my mom always said, like, as a kid, I was just always really active. And so from kindergarten to grade 5 to grade 6, middle school to high school, I just always wanted to be where the action is, right? Like, I'm a thrill seeker. And so whether that was joining sports or joining like a club or helping, like just being involved, I loved using my time positively. Except back then I didn't really think of, oh yeah, like using my time positively, right? It was just more of, I'm where the action is. There's so many people here. Let's get something going.
Yeah, that's
And
awesome.
so, yeah, I think school, I mean, obviously, right, for a kid like me, it was just the best place to be. And so, back to the main story of like when we got to the park, I was upset. Well, not upset, but I was just like, the kids are going to be upset. And so coming in with this nervous energy, and you're like, okay, I'm settled. The kids like me. And then now you promise them something, and you're looking around, and you're like, I am not going to be able to deliver. And then I turn around and I break the news, and I'm just expecting, like, I don't even know. I was like, if they had tomatoes, they definitely would have thrown them at me. But the kids, they just,
The riot.
right? They, and the way they responded, though, so positively, and I think that's truly like, that was the moment I felt what I was doing was going to make an impact. Because they turned around, they're like, oh, no worries. We're going to make the best out of this situation. And they did. They got together. They were running around. They were playing tag. And it was just such a feel-good moment with the sun shining and all of them just having fun and being outside. And I think that's something that you kind of lose as a kid, right? Where in kindergarten, you'd have time where you'd go outside, you'd have nap time and all of that stuff. But as you grow older, you spend a lot more time in the classroom. And I think being able to go outside and whether that's learn or just for a breather or going on a walk is honestly some of the best ways to keep your mental health at a good place, right? And so
So you're
seeing
saying,
that, I was just, oh, go ahead.
because I noticed that as well. Throughout the years, I've always been like, wow, I'm gonna miss recess. I wasn't one of the, and I feel like we should still have that. Like, teachers should be more
In high school, you mean?
In high school, even. Teachers would be more like, hey guys, let's go outside and play. Even though I'm sure like half the students would be like, oh my god, I don't want to go outside.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel some like kids people, in my class die for like a break outside.
I don't know. I feel like that's something we need. We need high school teachers to go, hey guys, let's go outside and play something, doing something active. Because
100%.
Yeah.
Like even for our math class, and you think math, oh, it's so right.
Mm-hmm.
But our teacher, Mr. Pernarowski, we had a time where we went outside and we did like a number game. And just being outside and really get that sense of, hey, like we're having a great time here. That was awesome. And I love it because I run Wake Up Mental Health with high school students as well, right? When I was in grade 12 at Windsor Park. And seeing just the reaction of them, they're like, we went on a walk. But even a simple walk around, you know, Windsor Park, and we're going like a far length. But just seeing them get together and talk and just be excited about going on a walk, right? And I think it's these things that we have the power to do. I mean, anyone can go on a walk. But when do we really take the time to do that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
of course.
Ridwanulai, there's an interesting piece that you're bringing up. And I think it's about play. And I think that my two co-hosts here are getting at it. Boy, it'd be nice to have more time to play. And as we continue the high school process, there's lots of research to show it too. Our creativity begins to wane. We see it. We see it in data. We see it in research. We see it in the difference between a 5 and 6 year old and a grade 11 and 12 year old in their creativity outputs. We can see it. The numbers show it. And if we gave more time for play, like you just took them out there and you said, oh, it didn't have all the man-made artifacts. They didn't need the man-made artifacts. They just needed the natural environment to go play.
Yeah.
And they'll invent something 100%. And they'll create and they'll play. And that's an amazing, I guess, a realization for you too, because you were looking for that kind of park. And that's what about learning is, right? You were looking for the park with all the things that will keep them busy. They know how to keep busy. Just let them go keep busy.
They don't. 100%.
And let them play. And I think you're onto something. And I think high school students need that as well. I remember I've taught English for a lot of years, grade 12 English. We always went for walks to write poetry. We never sat in a room. We never sat in a room and wrote poetry. We looked for, and it was raining. I told them, get your jacket on. We're going out. No, it's raining. We're going out. This is the time poets find their sensibilities and deep opportunities for reflection. And there's times when that kind of stimulation just doesn't exist in our man-made institutions and artifacts. And that's why the phone. Especially, that's why the phone's such a frightening thing.
Especially nowadays with phones and everything. We generate our own content to scroll and scroll away.
We're watching the same stuff and we're watching cats on pianos or whatever. Who cares? Like these man-made. I'm watching this video of crazy things of dogs being dressed up like they're people, and these guys are making cool TikTok videos. But I'm thinking, why am I even watching this? Why don't I just go take my dog for a walk, and watch him chase a leaf around? And that's what I've gotten back into. I like the long walk along the river. And I think those things are the places whenever I'm stumped, my creativity juices get moving again when I leave what I was working on and go outside and let my mind wander. You mentioned daydreaming too. I think every kid should be daydreaming more. When you said you were daydreaming during COVID, I thought that's one of the greatest things to happen to you. You got to look outside a window. Yeah, and imagine the possibilities. I think schools lack those pieces.
On what you were saying about poetry, Mr. Maggs, Ridwan, you said you write poetry, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me more? I'm so like interested. Like, do you write, like, have you written a poetry book? I'm so curious.
No, a poetry book is insane, but I definitely, and I feel like in my notes, I'm pretty sure everyone loves writing there, but every time I'd get like an idea or something, I'd always go into my notebook and just write. And I think the moment where, for me, I was like, oh, I definitely love writing poetry, was in grade, maybe middle school or something. And, you know, as all people do, I had a crush on this girl. I don't know. I was just like, you know what? Like, it's not going to work. And so I just went to my notebook and I was just writing a poem. And actually, this is what I wrote, because I still remember it to this day. And I love always reciting it because it brings me back like this sense of keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. But so it's, a love isn't a true insight, but something that you'll hold on tight. For soon she won't be yours to calm mine, for she will hit the next ocean tide. And neither will you see again, for the thing called love lives in vain. So every day make her hear your voice, or soon you'll call and she'll not rejoice. And I think it's just this sense of...
That was awesome. The fireworks just went off. That's fantastic. I'm proud of you, man. That's fantastic.
Thank you. But it's this sense of just creating, right? And really giving yourself. And I think that's why the pandemic was so... I'm not sure if essential was a word, because it did have its moments too where it wasn't great. But just having all this sense of time where it wasn't constructed into something, right?
Yes.
I didn't have to go play sports. I didn't have to go to the gym. Yes. I didn't have to start planning this next event for this club. I had time to just have time. And that meant daydreaming. That meant just rediscovering what it meant to be creative for myself. And so I think truly that was a turning point for myself.
So that was the original group. So you've had a number of groups contact you and you lead them through. This is the way the process works. You lead them through kind of a read, what were you saying? Read, write, art, and exercise process?
Yeah, we call it our Wake Up Mental Health Where, you get your writing, exercise, art, and reading.
Okay, nice. That's cool. Hey, one quick question, but Lena, you had something you was on your brain.
Yeah, I was just curious, do you have any poetry writers that inspire you, or do you take fully like from your life experiences?
I think there's actually a book I read, and it was about basketball, but the whole, I'm not sure if you guys know, but the whole book was just poetry about basketball and these two twins that were going through this basketball journey. And I love being inspired by what's around me, by what I read, by kind of like my sense of time. And I'm so inspired by time because I think it's this fascinating thing that we always feel like we have less of, even if we have more. And especially being young people, I think it sucks, this realization that we feel like we don't have time when we're so young.
Yes.
And so we let this sense of I'm going to do this and this and this and I have so little time. But when we really think about it, the amount of time that we have is insane. Like, we have decades ahead of us. And so I think for me, time has been an inspiration where I also write about time and nature. And yeah, I don't know. I don't really think of writing poetry as a thing I do. I just do it because it brings me joy and it's a way I kind of take care of my mental health.
Well,
so.
Time never parts easily with its messages, right? So you embrace time, you enjoy it, and the messages come to you over time. But the time thing for an older guy is a little different than you, I'll be honest with you. For one of them, okay? All right, so I have a different perspective on time, okay?
Okay.
I don't have as much left as you do, all right? So anyway, I'm curious about this, though. You have this interest in writing and reading and art, but you're a scientist.
Yeah.
So how does your art, because I see you as a Leonardo da Vinci type, who's one of my favorite favorite people, who keep books. I keep books, notebooks as well, of my thoughts and ideas, and you're keeping your own books that way. Like, and I got the inspiration from Leonardo da Vinci, who's got dozens of books. You should look these up, about his inventions, his thoughts, and you'll see amazing things. This guy was the Renaissance man, right? He was the great Italian thinker and creator during the Renaissance, along with Michelangelo and a number of others.
Michelangelo, Donatello, Raphael,
Raphael,
the turtles,
Caravaggio,
the turtles. that's how I remember them. That's how I remember them. You know, I think of the turtles.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
You get your four. Yeah,
but that's what he did. That's what this thinker. I mean, you are a thinker. That's what you like to call yourself, and you're correct. That's what Leonardo did. He never stopped thinking. He never stopped putting his thoughts down. He never stopped looking at different ways to do things. He always compared himself to nature. You just got your great lesson about nature. You don't need the man-made structure. Nature will tell you what to do out there once you're there. And sometimes it's just look up at the sky. And that's the beautiful moment, right?
Yeah.
We just saw an eclipse. That's an amazing,
yes, the solar
wondrous,
eclipse. I actually missed that. So.
Well, but you were privy to the pictures of this wondrous phenomenon, right?
Oh,
amazing.
Yeah. My whole feed was filled with just blacked out sun. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Amazing, right? Just super stuff. So how do you fit your art into your science?
Yeah, I guess it really started with coding. So during way before summer grade six, I believe. My parents were like, if you're gonna go on the computer, you need to be using your time productively, right? And they're like, don't just game, like actually do something with this time that you have if you're gonna be on the computer. And for them, that meant being on Khan Academy. But Khan
Oh,
Academy,
I
as you
hate Khan
know,
Academy.
well, I think it's a great program, but it just doesn't really have, at least for me, I was like, how do I really have fun as a kid on Khan Academy? And that was with their coding because they recently just started their animation or something with code. And I was just so intrigued. I was like, to me, it just seemed like art and it seemed like a great way to have fun. And so that's pretty much how I got into that, I think, science more, what I'm currently doing, which is comp sci. And so just coding away and learning about loops and while loops and all of this stuff and just having a great time. And then I stopped coding for a bit until I got to high school grade 10 was when Mr. Pringrosky again, but we had a coding class. And so I took that. And one of the things that we did for a final project was we got to create anything using C++, online GBD, the language that we'd learned. And for me, I decided to create a riddle game. So it was just over 3,000 lines of code of just like this kind of, I'm not sure, like Dungeons and Dragons, like you go in, you type your name, and then you get like a problem, and then you're trying to like throughout the storyline, it was like you're trying to save this guy so he could get back with like his family or community or something like that. And you have to answer riddles along the way. So I think I've always implemented this artistic sense of just creation within science. And I genuinely think that's what science is. It's this art of creating, this art of problem solving, right? You have an idea or you have a problem. How do you get to a solution? And you can go about that any way you want. And so I think whether for me solving math problems or doing any of that, I've always tried to think of different ways, thinking outside of the box, right? How can I solve this problem in a different way? And so I guess that's how I fit my artistic sense into science, just creating along the way and trying to think of new ways to solve problems.
All right, Leonardo, I like that. Now, Leonardo would say, look to nature. Nature will give you the answers because nature does it always perfectly. So when we want to replicate something that works
Replicate nature.
and will have great impact on the world, nature will give you the answers. So go for those long walks, my friend.
I went for one yesterday,
Yes.
first time with a friend. We went to Stanley Park.
Oh my
and I've
gosh,
never been to Stanley Park.
spectacular.
Indeed, yeah. And
Spectacular.
so
That's one of the parks in Canada to visit.
it was an amazing walk, and I'm definitely feeling a lot more inspired.
Of course, of course. That's great stuff. You know what? I'm just amazed that you were walking down the hallways of Windsor Park Collegiate, thinking about how can I make the world a better place. And I'm walking down the hallways at Nelson Mac back in the 70s thinking, how can I get a date for the Saturday night? Or, you know, how can I, hey, let's go steal some apples from that guy's yard. Like, this is what I'm thinking in high school. And you're thinking of changing the world. I love this about you. Like, I think, is this the modern student? Is this a contemporary student? Do you think you're a little off the wall or you're an anomaly? Or do you think this is the way young people are thinking today?
I think I'm definitely off the wall. Maybe not
And I mean
I
that with
think
great respect. I mean that with
but
total respect. I love what you're doing.
I know, but I feel like they're always just these strange kids. And I was definitely like a strange kid, right?
Oh,
Definitely I'm more like just always
that's
active
me.
and what, right? Exactly.
That's
But
me.
I think it's these strange kids where the
No,
world we currently live
you're a different strange, okay?
Oh, not the
We're
good, not
special
the good
strange.
kind.
Yeah, you're not the good
Not
strange.
the
This
good
is the good
strange.
strange over
Okay,
here.
I'll take no taking notes, taking notes.
I
No, because
kid,
I
I kid.
genuinely think like
This is a great
this
kid too.
he seems like a great
He
kid,
is
but we
totally.
live in
Thank
a
you,
world
thank you.
where we're being like strange. You always have to fit into the norm, right? You
Yes, yes.
always have to get the everyone wears the same backpack, everyone wears the same shoes. Everyone's like a copy and repeat, and you all go to the same classes and you think the same way. And I'd always prided myself on just being a little bit different, you know, so quirky. Like, no, just genuinely, I'm not sure. I just being different, where sure, I'd had my moments where people definitely didn't understand what I was saying. But in my head, I did.
Yeah,
and I
that's
was
all that
like,
matters.
as long as I can understand myself, right? I can go on and do whatever I want to do. And just having the sense of confidence that things will work out, I think is another thing that has definitely helped me throughout my journey, right? Where I've had hard moments and I'm like, what on earth am I going to do? But just having this blind faith of things will work out. God has got me, right? He's got a plan. He's got a plan for me that I can't see. But as long as I'm having fun and I'm staying true to myself, then eventually things will work out. And I'm not going to lie, I think they have. I think you don't hear about the strange ones until something good happens. But I'm definitely happy that something good happened.
Hey, what would you say to a group of grade 11s? They invite you back to Windsor Park. Knowing what you've learned now outside of high school and what you're seeing out there, what advice would you give to a group of grade 11s who are thinking, what should I do after high school?
I think this is something that I definitely realized in high school, or even bef definitely in high school, I realized this, that it's still coming into effect today. I think probably the biggest thing. And I guess it's like a two-way part, but number one is never stop trying. And number two is don't let anyone tell you you cannot try. And so it comes in the sense of where I think in high school, definitely, like people are always like, yeah, it's an interesting story. So in high school, I wanted to take a grade 12 law course when I was in grade 11. And for me, it didn't really seem like that big of a jump. I was in grade 11, the class is in grade 12. But just seeing like, and eventually I was able to take it. But at first I heard, no, you can't take that. It's only for grade 12s and like it's law. And so it just seemed like there was a lot of pushback where in my head, it just seemed obvious. Like you have a passion, you're interested in it. Why wouldn't you be able to take something that you're interested in, right? And so never stop trying. Always try. And there's this term that being a tryhard, right? Like people always said that in high school or in middle school, like it was some sort of an insult. Like, oh, you're such a tryhard. You're always. And to me, it never really made sense because why would you try to put someone down for
For
trying
trying,
hard? And I think that's something that we should not lose as students. And if you're in grade 11 or grade 12 or you're in uni or you're in middle school, like, right, never stop trying. Always put yourself out there. You will get a lot of no's, but you'll get so used to those no's that when you finally get a yes, you're like,
Right
wow,
on, right
right? Like
on.
someone is taking a chance on me. I've got to go above and beyond. So never stop trying. Always put yourself
I
out
love
there.
that. I love that, my friend.
And
I love that. I love that, my Jedi friend. Do or do not. There is no try.
I love it. Very good. Anyway, that's fantastic. We're gonna do something with you really quick. It's called the Quick Cues, and Lena is going to explain to you what it's all about.
Okay, so
Awesome.
it's basically a series of questions, kind of like this or that, and you don't have to think about it for too long, just pick an answer. Are you ready?
Sorry.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Reading or
I've never had
writing?
coffee.
Okay. Reading or writing?
Reading.
Morning or evening?
Evening as the sun is setting.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
Definitely extroverted.
Go out or stay inside?
Go out.
Breakfast or dinner?
Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Fries or onion rings?
Rise.
Jazz or rock?
Jazz, definitely
Da
jazz.
dancing or karaoke?
Can we do both?
Yeah, sure. And last but not least, what is the best podcast?
The best podcast is the one I'm on right now, Adventures Inc. Career Land.
Wow. That's right. Let's
And of course,
go.
you've answered that question correctly. There'll be a prize for you at the end of the show, and that
Oh,
gives us
yay.
gives you the eligibility to actually upload this thing into a space where people can listen to it. So welcome, sir. That was awesome. That was
Nice.
awesome. Hey,
Awesome.
would want to lie, you were an amazing guest today. You shared some really powerful insights about life, learning, and making your way. And just I just love that you took advantage of opportunity and you considered your uniqueness as a great strength, where sometimes
Thank
people
you.
think it's a, well, do you have to be that way? You're a try hard or those kinds of things, right? And that's sometimes what the school system inadvertently does, right? When you see a possibility, you might back off because you're, it's not what the herd's doing right now.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. now that you found your way and you're looking for opportunities at UBC, and I'm sure you're connecting to some of the opportunities out there, correct?
Yeah.
Of course, you're getting your nose out there. And
yeah.
And you're just continuing to move your life forward, meet people, make connections, learn, get a lot of technical and applied learning. Like you're gonna do something very interesting in your life. So, hey, from an old Windsor Park teacher and the creator of that a career internship program, I'm pretty proud of you. I'm happy. One last question. You did the career canvas, the Lean Career Design Canvas. Was that a useful thing to do?
Yes, because I'm a huge thinker. Yeah. And so just being able to, I think, regardless of how much you think, being able to put your thoughts, whether you're expressing yourself through poetry or something like that, for me, normally it is poetry. In that moment, it was the career canvas where I was just able to put all my thoughts down and just kind of get a feel for what did I actually want to do.
That's awesome. And that Lean Career Design Canvas is a tool we use in the Louisville Arts and Tech Center for students who want to get in touch with who their best self is and where their best possibilities lie. And finding the language about how to talk about yourself. So that was kind of cool. You already had a lot of that. And so your canvas, when you did the presentation for me last year, was a really powerful piece because you've already done a lot of that reflecting. But you began to put it in a deeper context. You began to find new words. And you're talking out loud. You rarely talk out loud about yourself. So when you have to practice it, you begin to find the words, you begin to find the new ways, what sounds right and what's the impact of what I'm saying. So I wish you luck on this journey of that self-discovery. You're on the road. You're way ahead of a lot of kids, I'll tell you right now. And it's gratifying to hear the kind of person you are and the kind of person that I'm excited to see you're going to become. Well done, sir.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much, Adriano. Thank you guys for having me. Honestly,
Thank you for coming on right now.
I'm just genuinely just moved by your words, and I think positive like thoughts about the person I am. So I'm appreciative, and this, I think what you guys are doing is awesome. And like I said, never stop trying, don't stop doing, and be great.
Right on, brother. Thank Good you. For you. Hey, I'd like to thank Chin. Kai is in the production studio. He's working like a dog
all
in there.
All by himself?
All by himself
Thank
today.
You, Chin.
He did a great job. He's taking care of anything that's gone wrong that you don't even notice when things go wrong here. He takes care of it. He's one of our producers, so we appreciate that. Also in the background is Achilles Boras and Grace Ross, but it's Chin who's been taking it on the chin today and taking care of our production today. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We're available on all your favorite podcast programs and occasionally on social media. So everyone, thanks. That's another edition of Adventures in Career Land.